seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We have been teaching on many, many, many Wednesday nights on the topic of salvation, and different parts of salvation. We have tonight's lesson. I think next week we'll wrap it up with the last one, and I'm going to jump into something else on Wednesday nights. But if you've not heard them, I challenge you to go back to our website, listen to them. Many, many, many important truths that will help you. Tonight, a little bit of a different kind of lesson. And I almost don't bring it to you, but I feel like it's such a prevalent thing that I need to, because you're going to run into it over and over and over and over and over again, and you need to know what it is and what's wrong with it, that type of thing. But Galatians chapter 1, let's start reading in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice that statement there. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now tonight, keep your Bible open there. There is a false teaching. I'm going to have to teach you a little bit about it so that you know that it's bad doctrine and not to fall into it, and so that you know how to understand what really is true about it. It's called Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation is an unscriptural teaching that says in order for somebody to be saved, you have to have Jesus as Savior and Lord. That is unscriptural. You can't make Jesus Lord of your life the moment you get saved. Now, I'm going to go into that here a little bit more. By the way, no one can be saved if we have to make him Lord in order to be saved, because that's work salvation. It's not by faith. Statements like, you cannot receive Jesus as Savior without making him Lord. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, then you're not saved. These are false doctrinal statements. They are scripturally unbiblical. I am like stink on a skunk when it comes to this. There's a lot of wolves out there appearing to be good, and I'm not afraid to name names. I look at gospel tracts. When you look at a gospel tract and it says you have to receive him as Lord and Savior, be careful. Can I tell you something? Jesus as Savior is all you need for getting saved. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I say something? That alone is to prove that you don't have to make Jesus Lord of your life. For by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say for by grace and making him Lord are you saved by faith. It says for by grace are you saved through faith. I make a big deal of this because if you get saved by making him Lord, then you're adding works to salvation. Also, if you're adding works to salvation, you did not get saved. Now you say, well, preacher, when I trusted Christ, I said those two words. I didn't say if you said those two words, but if you're trying to believe that you have to make him Lord in order to be saved, that's works. If you add anything to getting saved, it works. Whether it be baptism, whether it be joining a church, whether it be making Christ Lord, whether it be catechism, whether it be baptizing babies or standing on your head eating peanut butter and spitting BBs, I don't know. Doesn't matter what you add to it, it's wrong scripturally. Now, God clearly says that we are saved by grace through faith, plus or minus nothing. That's it. Now, let me settle you a little bit about this lordship thing, and I think I can help you. There is only one gospel necessary for salvation. That is this: Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, paid our sin debt, shed his blood, died, was buried, resurrected, and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And all you have to do is trust that and that alone to take you to heaven, and you're on your way to heaven. That's it. Anything outside of that is work salvation. You say, "Preacher, well, I wasn't taught that way." Can't help that you learned the wrong way, but that's the true gospel. Now, look at Galatians 1, verse number 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Notice that word, another. Verse number 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Ooh. Now, look at me very carefully here. The word "another" in verse number 6 is different than the word "another" in verse number 7 in the Greek. There are two totally different words used for "another" in those two verses, just like we have two different words for "another" in the English language. In verse number 6, it means another of a different kind. The other in verse number 7 is another of the same kind. Let me illustrate it in a way you'll understand. You're at dinner and you got cookies for dessert. Everybody gets their cookie and the husband says, "I want another." In other words, you want another one of the same kind you just had. But if you got nasty coconut or something on top of them, preacher says, "I want another one. Give me a different kind. I want another kind." Say why? Because I don't like the coconut. You can have the coconut. I don't like it, but I'll take another kind. In other words, the first "another" means I want one of the same kind. I want the same ones again. The other "another" means I want one that's of a different kind. Everybody understand that? And those are two different Greek words used in verse number 6 and verse number 7. Matter of fact, look at verse number 8. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Wow. God says anyone giving any other gospel other than grace through faith is to be accursed. That's not a good word. In verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that are called, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," a gospel of a different kind. Verse number 7, "which is not another," meaning more of the same kind. See how that works? But, verse number 7, "there be some that trouble you which would pervert the gospel of Christ." Look at me, the word "pervert." Do you know what the word "perversion" means? It means putting out of order. Changing the order of. To make perverse. We would call a child molester perverted. He took something that's good, took it out of order, and perverted it. And I'm not going any farther because it doesn't need to be gone any further. Now, there really are only two, and I'm going to use this word very loosely tonight, religions in the world. Either Jesus did it for you or you have to do it. Those are the only two religions in the world. I don't care what name you put on it. Either Christ paid your sin debt and you get it by faith, or you have to earn it on your own merit. Period. There's no other religion out there. I don't care if it's Hindu, Muslim, Shinto, Greek mythology. Doesn't matter if it's some tribal thing. You're either trying to pay for eternity on your own, or Jesus did it and you accept it by grace through faith. That's the only two religions that there really are in this world. Look at Romans chapter 11. Go back a few pages. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse number 6. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. And if by grace, some of you are still turning. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Say, that sounds like a double talk, preacher. In other words, God says this. You're either saved by grace, and grace is not works, or you're saved by works, and works is not grace. Those are the only two quote-unquote religions there are in the world. I don't care if it's Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons. I don't care if it's the Jehovah's False Witnesses. I don't care if it's the Sodomites. I don't care if it's Wicca. I don't care if it's the Church of Satan. I don't care if it's any other religion, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, Episcopalian, Ecumenical, Church of Christ, Orthodox Church, Church of God, Church of God in Christ Jesus, United Methodist, Independent Methodist, Southern Baptist, General Association, Regular Baptist, any other Baptist you want. It's either by grace or it's by works. That's it. Doesn't matter the name on the sign. It matters, is it by works or is it by grace? Let me ask you a question. When I'm out soul winning, I'll often use this. Honestly, I use it with more than just Catholics, but it really works well with Catholics. I'll get to them with the gospel and I'll say, let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Oh, for our sins. My favorite response. You're right. So if Jesus died on the cross for your sins, why do you have to do all those things to get it? If he paid for it, why do you have to pay for it again? Don't know. And that's when I start slashing them with the gospel. Amen. I show them how it's a free gift. You can't earn it. If Jesus already paid for it, why do you have to pay for it? Number one, you can't because you're a sinner. we're already depraved. We can't pay the price. So, number one, you have to understand there is only one gospel for salvation. Many of your Bibles. And you have to understand the King James Bible itself is inspired, perfect, and inerrant. But not all the little notations and different things are. For instance, when it says the epistle of Paul the apostle to the Galatians, you'll find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it'll say the gospel according to Matthew. No, God wrote it, not Matthew. And it's not the gospel according to Matthew, it's the gospel according to God. Hate to disappoint you, I don't even call them the four gospels. It's the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, the book of John. Not the gospel of, because there's not four different gospels. It's one gospel. Amen. Everybody got that? That's just another thing off my chest. Amen. Feeling strong. All right. Number two. You ready? We don't have the authority or position to make Jesus Lord. This one's going to rattle your cage a little bit. A lord is a position of power in the political world. It is not a spiritual position. It is a political position. You go over to your countries in Europe and you hear about them being lords of this and lord of that and lord of this and lord of that. By the way, there's only one that is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Say why? Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now watch this. A lord can only be made or given position by the highest of powers, usually a king. That means this: how can you make him Lord when you don't have the authority to make him Lord? He's already Lord. You can't make him a Lord. He already is. But can I tell you something? There's one other way you can become a Lord. This is enough to make me want to shout. You can marry in and become a Lord. Guess what the church is? The bride of Christ. One day when we get to heaven, we will be lords ruling and reigning with him here on this earth, because we've married in to become lords with him. You will not truly have Jesus as Lord of your life till we come back and rule at the millennium. Think through that one a while, because it's a political position, not a spiritual position. So the only way one could become a Lord is a king, or the highest of authority has to issue that to you. By the way, God the Father issued Jesus to be Lord of all. You can't make him Lord because you don't have the highest authority to make him Lord. We don't have the authority to be king over Jesus and make him Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. You doubt me? Let's see what God says. Matthew chapter 7. I'm having fun. Somebody say amen or honk. Look at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Beware of, what's the next two words? False prophets. Okay, does that sound like good people with good doctrine?
Nope.
All right, that means people with bad doctrine, correct? Like Nancy Pelosi.
Amen.
Oh no, that's the beast, I'm sorry. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. I'm going to skip down to verse number 21. We could go through all these verses, but for time's sake, we're not going to. Not everyone that saith unto me, what are the next two words? Lord, Lord. Uh-oh. Now look at me. Here are people that tried to make him Lord. They tried to let him rule them, but notice these are false prophets. What does it say? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Huh. So it doesn't sound like you can make him Lord as you make him Savior, or you'd enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Say, what is that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So all you got to do is get saved. Verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. There it is again. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils. Thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. This thing about making him Lord has nothing to do with going to heaven. Has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. He's already Lord. Did you know you can't do anything to make him Lord? You can choose to submit to his position. That is correct. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus is Lord appointed by God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. I want you to notice the wording here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now that's in reference to Jesus, correct? And the what? Government. Shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth for even forever. The zeal of the what? Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. God said Jesus will be born to be the government one day in the land of Israel, which is during the millennium. He will be the Lord of the earth at that time. So until then, I hate to tell you this, there ain't nothing you can do except call him Lord and submit to him. He's already become Lord. God already spoke that from the beginning. His position does not change based on our life. Did you know that if Brother Scott does not submit to the lordship of Christ, Jesus is still Lord? Amen. Do you know that if Mrs. Barnes doesn't submit to the lordship of Christ, God is still on his throne and Jesus is still Lord forever and ever? Amen. And guess what? You can still go to heaven. We can submit to his leadership, but us not obeying it does not demote Jesus from being Lord. The false doctrine of lordship salvation says you have to make him Lord of your life to be saved, which means if you don't, you've demoted him. That's what they're teaching. So, number three, are you ready? I'm fixing to have some fun. There are examples of people in the Bible who are saved and in heaven today that did not always make Jesus Lord of their life. Let me ask you a question. When I meet these these idiots, when I meet them and they say, well, you have to make him Lord of your life, I always say this. Is Moses in heaven? Yeah. Well, Moses murdered somebody. Moses disobeyed God and smote the rock the second time and lost his ticket to the Holy Land. I said, let me ask you a question. Moses came down on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus saw him, and so did Peter, James, and John. Came down from heaven. Huh. I guess Moses disobeyed God and Jesus wasn't Lord of his life at that point in time. How'd he make it to heaven? They changed the subject real quick. Moses did not always make Jesus Lord. Everybody doing okay? Look at Romans chapter 4 for a second. Romans chapter 4. But to him that Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Does it say his submitting to the lordship of Christ is counted for righteousness?
No.
It says his faith, correct?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't say anything about his works. It says his faith is counted for righteousness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. All the way back, Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Oh, this makes so much sense. Amen, preacher. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Did you know when you get born, you don't pop out with a full set of teeth, shoes on, stand upright, 5'8", 100 and none of your business pounds, ready to go? You pop out bald as a cue ball, look like a wrinkled up prune in the summertime, kind of like Al. You just ugly, good night, can't do nothing, no teeth, no sense. There's only one thing you can do is cry. Then they shove something in your mouth, you eat, and then you blow exhaust and have no control over any of it. Now, wait a minute. It takes time for that infant, that baby, to grow into maturity, correct? Mm-hmm. Making Jesus or submitting to his lordship in your life takes time to grow into.
That's right.
It doesn't happen immediately. You don't grow physically immediately. You don't grow spiritually immediately. Can I tell you something? Nobody's perfect. We're all sinners. Before you get too upset with people not understanding the Christian life, go back to when you first got saved. Not everybody grows as fast as other people, and some don't grow as far. Some do grow up, some grow out. Some don't grow very tall at all. My grandma was 4'11". My wife beat her out, barely. but my grandma Bush, she was 4'11", but don't get her mad. Now watch what she did to a chicken head one time. Don't get her mad. She ripped that thing off and went, pow, woohoo, okay, grandma. I ain't getting too close to her. She'll pinch my head off. So people need time to grow. There's no such thing as growing in grace if you have to make Jesus Lord and Savior at the same time. It's not growth in grace then. Abraham lied about Sarah twice being his wife. And listen to this. Go back in Genesis sometime and read the story of Abraham when God told him to leave the land of the Ur of Chaldees and go to a land which he knew not of, whose ruler and maker is God. He told him, don't go home. Don't go by your own homeland. Guess where he went? He went home. That's where he picked up Lot. He said, don't pick up any of your brethren or kindred. Just go there. He picked up Lot. Lot would have never ended up in Sodom had Abraham obeyed God. Why do you think Abraham tried to go into Sodom and find him and rescue him? Because it was Abraham's fault that he went there. He wasn't even supposed to be near there. Abraham disobeyed God along the way. Oh, a man of faith? Yes, but he blew it a few times. Guess he didn't make Jesus Lord in everything, did he? Lied about Sarah being his wife twice and almost lost her to a Pharaoh of Egypt or some Egyptian ruler and because he was afraid he might get killed. Boy, that's a man of faith, isn't it? Noah built the ark. Afterwards, got drunk. Probably had to deal with Jefferson County too long. I almost understand it, you know? 120-year-long building program. Didn't have a very good stormwater management program either. Chesapeake Bay watershed did not work. Can I tell you something? Adam had no sin and didn't make Jesus Lord of his life when he sinned. And he was in a land of perfection. Look at Lot. If you went to 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, we won't take time to turn there. The Bible talks about just Lot, a man who was saved. When the angel of God came to Lot, he said, and the men of the city coming after these male angels, they wanted them to do their defilement with the Sodomites. He said, look, don't take them. They're angels from God. I've got two daughters left at home. Take them instead. Imagine offering your daughters to a bunch of sodomites to do whatever they want. That's how backslidden Lot was, but he was saved. Does it sound like Lot was making Jesus Lord? King David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, murdered her husband Uriah. Does that sound like David was making Jesus Lord of his life? The disciples, all of those rascals forsook him at Calvary. They all left the ministry. Jesus had to go gather them back up after he resurrected. They were out fishing. Jesus had to walk to them out on the water, or not walk to them, and called for them and said, look, cast your net on the other side. And they said, uh-oh, that's the Lord. We saw him do this once before. They all quit the ministry. They went back into the fishing business, went back into the business world. Say why? They didn't want to be associated and killed like he was. Sounds like they really made him Lord, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, about 45, 50 days later, they were preaching Pentecost. The Apostle Paul, he murdered people. You know that the Apostle Paul took a foolish, unwise Jewish vow when he was told not to do it? Guess he was making Jesus Lord, huh? How about John the Baptist? You know, John the Baptist was in prison about to lose his head. He sent word with one of his disciples and said, go find this Jesus. By the way, biologically, they were cousins. He said, go find Jesus and make sure he is who he says he is. That's when Jesus said, there's none greater than John the Baptist, born of women. He had a little bit of doubt. He was about to get killed, and he said, before I die, better make sure he really is who he says he is. Sounds like he was really making him Lord, doesn't it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you, that's to the church of Corinth, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are ye not carnal and walk as men? Wow. Here is a church of Corinth who's acting like a bunch of lost people. They're saved people, but they're acting like a bunch of lost people. And he said, look, I have to teach you the simple things, and I can't get into the heavier things because you haven't done what I told you. It doesn't sound like they're making him Lord yet, does it? But they're saved. They're just carnal. Now, listen to me very carefully. I am not taking Jesus' title of Lord away from him. What we need to see is this, though. You don't have to, quote unquote, make him Lord to get saved. Jesus already is Lord because he was appointed that by God. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he is the Lord of glory. Yes, he is. One day he'll be Lord of the earth, ruling and reigning, and we will rule and reign with him. We're marrying in and we will be his lords, pardon the expression, and my ladies. But you don't make him Lord as a condition for salvation. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, we can choose to obey and submit to him. Yes, we can. But we can only be saved by one gospel, and there is no perversion of that gospel according to God. It is simply accepting Jesus by faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm done with this. Matthew chapter 18. I'm even going to get you out a couple minutes early. That way you won't starve to death. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now look at me. I don't find anywhere in here where a child knows how to make Jesus Lord, do you? Did you know? Jesus said if you want to go to heaven, you have to become like a little child. Do you know that children Don't look at people by position. Dr. Fugit will come. I'll watch our kids run up and talk to him. Unashamed, like they're best buddies. Dr. Anderson will come. Here's a man, multimillionaire, giving away tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars for the cause of Christ. More people saved because of his money than probably any man in the history of the world. Our kids run up and sit on his lap and talk to him and play, and they don't know any different. They're not walking up going, wow. Say, what's a kid do? Bashes into him, you want to play trucks? Brother Anderson, sure. You say, why? Because a child isn't impressed with somebody's title. They don't understand it. Position doesn't mean nothing unless it's mom or dad. And even then, sometimes it doesn't mean anything. God says to go to heaven, you have to have that faith like a child. My wife and Brother Josh will remember this story. Every Sunday morning when I worked for Brother Hiles, my wife would take our children by Brother Hiles' office and they would give him a candy bar and shake his hand and talk to him for a moment. And they'd spend maybe 2 minutes with the preacher every Sunday morning. And then Mindy came along. She was born on a Wednesday, and on Sunday, that Sunday, I went with my wife and kids, because she had three of them, and she really shouldn't have been trying to handle all three after just having a baby, but she was there, and we had Mindy all wrapped up, and I had an outrageous candy bar stuck right there between her hands like this. Laying in my arms, he said, oh no, I ain't taking candy from a baby. I pulled her, he's looking at her, and I pulled her a little thing back on her head and said, look, preacher, she's got more hair than you. Slap! Upside my head. It was worth every second. I was not there this day that this happened, but Brother Hiles told me about it. My wife was there with all three kids, and he came out, and he had a bunch of stuff in his hands. He said, hang on. He said, I got to put some things down. And my son, Jeff, said, it's okay, I'll help you. He just picked stuff up, walked in, started putting stuff on the table in his office. He said, hey, get out of here. You're not running this place yet. He didn't know to be ashamed of it. Had no idea. You say, why? Because that was just the preacher. They loved him. They honestly didn't know how great a preacher he was. They didn't know how world-renowned he was. That was just preacher. Jeff is going to make himself comfortable and help out the preacher. God said that's how a person gets saved. Not by making him Lord. You make him Savior. Eventually, you can submit to him. But I hate to tell you this, none of us will truly make him Lord of our life. Not until we reach the millennium. And God's the only one that can make him Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I hope it clarifies it for you. You can't make him Lord to get saved. You can't do anything the such. You just have to accept him as Savior.